It's Valley Focus, and I'm Kayla Mortellaro, your guide for the program as we turn our attention here to the Arizona Chapter National Safety Council, ACNSC, as we're joined by Ed Tobby, lead trainer. Ed, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great, and I'm looking forward to the important conversation ahead here. A little bit of background, the Arizona Chapter National Safety Council, also known as ACNSC, was founded in 1949 and is an organization dedicated to educating and motivating individuals to lead safer and healthier lives. So what are some key areas of focus for the ACNSC's members and organizations?
Well, first and foremost, first aid CPR AED is one of the courses or trainings that we are very, very well known for nationally and at the state level. In addition, we offer a lot of defensive driving programs ranging from helping corporations keep their drivers safe and people getting a ticket that can come to a class and get that dismissed. So roadway safety in addition to first aid CPR. Then we offer other workplace safety courses on ergonomics, incident investigation, training methods, those kind of things. So we're here to help from the workplace to any place is kind of our motto.
And for the CPR, we're going to dive into that here today. And this is interesting because the holidays are right around the corner and can be a really fun time, but it can also be a very stressful time with crowds, travel, big meals, and so much more. So how does that impact the risk of cardiac emergencies?
Well, anytime you add levels of stress, you're increasing the risk for heart attack and stroke specifically. And it is very common for these to rise during the holidays. As you mentioned, travel can be very stressful. Having people in your home that are not used to being there, meals, alcohol, lifestyle changes, a lot of things that are combined together that can create additional stress on everybody. And stress leads to a possibility of a heart attack as one of the major contributing factors. So it's really important that we focus on preparing ourselves and our family through some training that can help respond if this was to happen in our home.
Yes, most cardiac arrests do happen in the home. So this puts many of us as family members, as friends, as first responders. So what are some signs to be on the lookout for someone who might be entering into cardiac arrest?
Well, the most common sign and symptom is chest pain or chest pressure. And it can radiate out through the neck, the jaw, the back, the arm. So pain that spreads to these other areas. The person can experience sweating, dizziness, and lightheadedness, and sometimes some nausea and vomiting feelings. And a lot of times these symptoms can be very subtle, and not everybody has all of the symptoms. And especially when we're dealing with some abdominal stress, people will tend to ignore it, think, well, I just ate too much. Maybe it's indigestion. Maybe it's something else, or I'm coming down with the flu. So a lot of times people will ignore some of these signs and symptoms, especially since they can be pretty subtle. So you have to be really aware of your body and aware of things that just don't feel right. And make sure you tell somebody if you're experiencing this, because they're not always obvious to the people around you. You know, we have signs are things that we can observe on another person, but a symptom is something that we feel. And so people can't tell if we feel dizzy. They can't tell if we feel nauseous. We can't tell if we're in pain or have pressure. And so it's important to communicate that with the people around you.
You kind of stole my next question there, Ed, in terms of if you are experiencing symptoms of cardiac arrest and in a position to speak or garner attention, how do you get that attention? What should you do in that particular situation?
For sure. Just make sure you communicate with the people around you. I personally have had some events in the past that have required some intervention. And my last event was what they called a silent heart attack, where you don't have the significant signs and symptoms. And the danger there is we ignore it and we tend to do nothing. And when you do nothing, the outcomes can be very, very different. So it's really important to listen to your body, when you're not feeling well, just let the people around you know what you're feeling and experiencing so that they can take the proper actions if necessary.
Ed Tobby, lead trainer with Arizona Chapter National Safety Council here on Valley Focus. So as we're kind of weaving our way through this process here of what to do, so we've notified someone or we've sensed that someone is experiencing cardiac arrest. What are the next steps that individuals should take in order to be helped?
Well, first of all, let's get help on the way. Let's call 911. And get help on the way. It's really, really critical to do that. And then depending if the person is responsive and breathing, then we help them rest in a position for comfortable breathing. We monitor their body temperature, not too hot, not too cold. We can, if they're not allergic to aspirin, we can give them some aspirin. Some people may be carrying other medications such as nitroglycerin. So we can help them take these other medications if, once again, if they are responsive and they are breathing, we can talk to them, and but they're just having the symptoms. If they're unresponsive and not breathing, then obviously we need to start chest compressions as quickly as possible. And these are going to be chest compressions, two hands on top of the other, fingers interlocked, using the heel of the hand in the center of the breastbone. And for an adult, we're going to compress about the third of the depth of the chest, was 2 to 2.4 inches, hard and fast, about 100 to 120 per minute. So about 2 per second on these chest compressions, and let the chest fully recoil in between those compressions. And we're going to continue that until the AED arrives. Now, circling back to what do we do, if we know there's an AED, we get it. If we can use the AED very quickly, it increases the survival chances dramatically. And part of it is because a heart attack is a circulation issue, where cardiac arrest is a sinus rhythm interruption. And the only way to restore that sinus rhythm is to shock the heart. That's why the AED is so important. Sometimes the heart can resume beating with restoring circulation if that blockage is disrupted during chest compressions. So if they're having a heart attack, sometimes the person can actually wake up and respond. But if they're having cardiac arrest and that cardiac sinus rhythm has been disrupted, the heart has to be shocked back into rhythm.
We'll stay on AED for a second. Kind of what is an AED, and are they all like the same, or do they all look the same, operate the same? Because most people don't have AEDs in their home, so that would be more for like out in public. And then can you just ask the staff if they have an AED on site?
Absolutely. What an AED is a defibrillating device that delivers an electrical shock to the heart. That helps restore that sinus rhythm. And you're right, it's very uncommon to have one at home, but they're becoming very commonplace in public retail stores, libraries, churches, office buildings, the workplaces. Many now have an AED available. So if you're out in public in a store or someplace, ask the person, is there an AED available? Because once again, quick use of that AED can really increase the chances of survival significantly. And so what it does, it analyzes the heart rhythm, looks for that rhythm, and will deliver a shock if that rhythm is not in place. And they are very similar in how they operate. They're very basic units. You can use them without training. And that's how they're designed, to have the average person be able to open up the unit, follow the prompts, and deliver the shock to the person. But that being said, it's always better to have training and be prepared for this. And that's what we're trying to do, is help people prepare.
Ed Tobby, lead trainer with Arizona Chapter National Safety Council here on Valley Focus. So yes, CPR training, and I imagine that AED usage is part of that CPR training that is offered through ACNSC. So let's talk a little bit more about the classes that are being offered, what the costs are, the benefits of joining the classes.
Okay, our typical price is $105 for a class, and the full first aid CPR AED curriculum takes about 8 hours. We can also do a class specific to CPR AED that takes about half of that. The regular price is $105. Through the holidays, we're offering a $20 discount to put it down to $85. You would just have people contact our office to get that scheduled. And it provides training for people to help respond in an emergency. Very, very valuable training. We offer the courses on a regular basis once a month here in our office. And we also train trainers that go back to their companies and provide training to their people. So we have a multiplying effect with this. But the intent of this course is to help individuals and families prepare and at a discounted price to get them the training that's going to be so helpful.
So when you're talking about CPR training, what does the class cover? Because you mentioned that there's one that's 8 hours and then there's one that's about half the time. So what more options or in-depth details does this CPR class go into?
Well, if we're doing the CPR AED class only, first thing we teach you is how to protect yourself from disease transmission. So the use of gloves, barrier devices are discussed. We talk about what's called the recovery position, which is somebody that's breathing but not responsive. We're going to call for help and somebody's not breathing properly. And we can roll them onto their side and help drain their mouth and bend their legs for stability and monitor their breathing and help clear that airway in case the person vomits. So that we do teach the recovery position, and then we do CPR, we do AED use as separate units because they are separate skills. And we also talk a little bit about choking because that can also lead to the need for CPR. So we cover about five or six topics in addition to CPR and AED, just the kind of the basics that are related to it to help protect you from disease and help that person and respond appropriately.
You mentioned as well that this can be kind of a trickle-down effect, that one person can come from the organization to train the rest of the organization. So these CPR classes can be for one person, they can be for the whole family, they can be for the group of people. Can you also do them organization-wide?
Absolutely. We work with a lot of companies locally to help prepare their workers in event of, and more of our training is that direction, by the way. We get a lot more companies that want to train somebody in-house so that they can continue that training to their own staff, their own employees on their schedule and efficiently as possible when they get new hires and things like that.
So where can people go for more details on registration, take advantage of the $20 off discount through the holidays, and details on these CPR classes?
Our website is acnsc.org, and just search under First Aid CPR there. You can call our office number at 602-264-2394 and talk to any of the customer service representatives, and we'd be glad to assist you in finding a class that is convenient.
Ed, before I let you go here today, I want to give you the final word on what you'd like to share about CPR training, having knowledge of what to do, signs to look out for, and how these critical courses can help save a life.
Well, what I tell my trainers all the time is this course not only gives you the skills to do what's need to be done, but it also gives you the knowledge and the willingness to do it. A lot of people are very reluctant to help another person, especially a stranger, in a medical emergency. They don't want to hurt them. They're afraid to get sued. They're not sure of the right thing to do. And this training builds that confidence and the willingness to help another person in a medical emergency. And I think that is really, really critical because time is the most important factor here. The sooner we can get compressions going, help circulate that remaining blood and oxygen, get help on the way, get advanced medical care, all these things are tied together. So this training does all that, and it will greatly improve the chances of survival.
And one final time on the best website and phone number for people to get in touch.
It's www.acnsc.org and office number 602-264-2394.
Ed, greatly appreciate you taking some time to have this conversation this morning.
Absolutely love being here, and thank you for helping the community be safer.
You're very welcome. Once again, he is Ed Taube, lead trainer of Arizona Chapter National Safety Council, ACNSC, as you have been listening right here to Valley Focus.
Over the years, you've brought opioids into your home.